It was 7 years ago, a couple weeks ago, that I was arrested and jailed in Phoenix, along with almost 90 other people, including the president of our Unitarian Universalist Association then, the Reverend Peter Morales, my good friend, on July 29th, 2010. All told, there were more than 24 Unitarian Universalists who were arrested and jailed that day. I knew about SB 1070, the racial profiling law that was to go into effect in Arizona, and I felt it in a very visceral way. I am Hispanic, the daughter of immigrants. And I knew what it must have been like for my family to suffer the prejudice and profiling they found in this country, just for their names. Sanchez, Fernandez, Blanco, lots of Jose's, some Carmen's, our ethnicity, and for some of us, yes, our impressive accents. Bertie, I have to say hello. In spring 2010, the Reverend Susan Frederick Gray, who's now the president of the UUA, who was then the minister of our congregation in Phoenix, Arizona, told us that local immigration organizations in Arizona had contacted her because they knew we UUs have a long and strong history of social justice. We stand for civil rights. She called upon Unitarian Universalists from all over the country to march with her on March 29th, 2010, in Arizona to protest. There were 50,000 people in the streets protesting that day. I was never so proud to be there with Unitarian Universalists, people of all faiths, people of no faith, as we marched through the streets of Phoenix for several miles in blistering heat. Women, men, children, singing, chanting, holding signs in English and in Spanish together, hundreds of them. Soon after that, our Pacific Southwest District Executive at the time, the Reverend Ken Brown, sent out an email asking if there are people in the Pacific Southwest District churches who would be willing to commit CD. CD is civil disobedience. In Phoenix, Arizona, on the day that the draconian racial profiling law, SB 1070, would go into effect. I want to say I felt like a great cloud of witnesses were watching over me with expectations of what I would do, but since my grandparents were atheists, they might have found that amusing. My dad probably would have told me, "You're crazy, don't do that." So I think in reality, my response was automatic because I felt called. I was called. I was called because of my family history. I was called by the history of this faith tradition of Unitarian Universalism. I was called because one of my respected leaders and friends asked me. I was called because I was personally contacted. I was called because my conscience implored me to act. I had never been arrested before. I really had no idea what that might mean. And I certainly had never been to jail. I was soon to find out, though, and my life is changed forevermore. Meanwhile, I began rereading our Unitarian forebearer Henry David Thoreau's work on nonviolent civil disobedience, written in the 1800s. I knew that Thoreau's writing had inspired Mahatma Gandhi in India, whose actions had in turn inspired the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. here in the United States in the 1960s in the civil rights movement. I listened to the words of Peter Morales when he spoke to the legalities of racism in our immigration system. Peter said, "As a religious people who affirm human compassion who advocate for human rights, who seek justice, we must never, never mistake confusing a legal right with a moral right. The forced removal of Native Americans from their land onto reservations was legal. The importation and sale of African slaves was legal. Later on in my lifetime, he says, we had laws across the South designed to prevent African Americans from voting. That was legal. Apartheid was legal in South Africa. The confiscation of the property of the Jews at the beginning of the Nazi regime was legal. The Spanish Inquisition was legal. Crucifying Jesus was legal. Burning our ancestor, Michael Servetus, at the stake for his Unitarian theology was legal. The fact that something is legal does not cut much ethical ice. The powerful have always used the legal system to oppress the powerless. I'm going to give you just the briefest description of my experience in Phoenix. We had taken hours of training the night before, but nothing could prepare us for what happened that day. Linking arms that morning, we marched in a solid square of human beings into an intersection where we were met by police. They were wearing riot gear. They were wearing face shields with their guns and their tear gas canisters at the ready. The scene was something like from a movie, the kind of movie I don't even go to. Literally many dozens of supporters massed down the boulevard and dozens of Phoenix police surrounded us, asking us to move. We were not wearing any identification. The only thing we had on us was a little yellow slip of paper that said, "We will not comply." Bullhorns, drums, people screaming, a circle of us holding hands around a giant banner. Don't we look mean? We were later told that the heat reflected back to us was about 140 degrees. When we were contacted to see if we did want to do this in the heat, they said to the women, "Don't wear good shoes." And I thought, I haven't worn heels for years. What are you talking about? It wasn't heels. It was shoes that did not have artificial glue in them because they would heat and they would give our feet third-degree burns. I have my shoes with me, by the way, if you want to see the shoes that I wore. The police moved in. They told us we would be arrested, but they forgot to give us our Miranda rights. We were handcuffed. We were thrown into vans. Van, maybe a few feet off the ground. Your hands are in handcuffs behind your head, and you are thrown in face first. One of the women in the van showed me how to get out of my handcuffs. And instead of taking us to the Phoenix jail, they took us to the Maricopa County Jail where Sheriff Opayo was waiting for us. And there I am getting arrested by a really sweet young African-American Phoenix policeman. We were so hot that you couldn't tell the difference between the tears and the sweat that was falling off our faces. He said, "I can't believe I'm arresting a pastor. I have to go home and tell my mother that tonight." And my wife is going to be furious with me. And I said, "Honey," because he's real young and I'm not, "you're doing your job and I'm doing my job." He also couldn't get my earrings out, which is what I'm wearing today. They just clip, but he didn't know how to do that. And I helped him. And when we finished, I said, "Now you go home and help your wife put on and take off your earrings, too, so you'll be a hero in your house." When we arrived at the jail, we were taken out of the vans, thrown out of the vans. By this time, I was putting my handcuffs back on because I didn't want the sheriff to know I had taken my handcuffs off. And then we were immediately thrown back in because the president of the UUA, Peter Morales, and Susan Frederick Gray had been with the Puente people outside of the jail. There they are. And they were summarily dragged down to their feet. They tried to remove the spaces that were on either side of Susan's arms and were unable to do that. So they pushed them down, and I heard the people in the back, the sheriffs, using language which I don't use in the pulpit or otherwise, and take out their guns and take out their tear gas canisters and scream, and all hell broke loose as Peter and Susan were brought into the belly of the beast. They had their guns in hand, did I say that? They scrambled to counter. It was crazy. It was overwhelmingly crazy. You could still hear the drums beating outside, and the people were yelling, and I was again struggling to take off my handcuffs. The jail experience was horrendous. We occupied very cold cinder block cells. They really only meant to fit about 7 or 8 people, 10 people max. There were 24 women in each cell. We were watched by men and women guards constantly. We used an open-to-view toilet in the middle of the jail. There were no clocks. The only 2 phones on the wall worked intermittently. There wasn't enough cinder blocks lining the wall for us to sit down. Those of us who were exhausted and tried to sleep took turns on the floor, sleeping on top of each other. The only food we were given were bags of hard bread, sugary peanut butter, sugary drinks, sugary cookies, and frozen oranges, which they threw into the cell twice a day. And if you were in the way, they hit you. We were joined constantly by other women, some of whom were prostitutes. Some were there for possession of drugs. Others were there for traffic violations. Almost all of them were women of color. Some recognized us from the television coverage that morning when they had been with their Johns in the motel rooms. They walked in, they saw me with the collar, they did this, and then they looked at the people wearing Standing on the Side of Love shirts as Clover and Paul and my friend over here are this morning. And they said, "Ah, you're the love people." We kept up each other's spirits in the jail by teaching each other songs in Spanish and in English, UU hymns, and an indigenous song chant about the goddess Tonantzin. 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 We did yoga. We did the hokey pokey. Do you know what the Unitarian Universalist version of hokey pokey is? You know how you put your right hand in, you put your right hand out, you put your right hand, your right hip in? Well, at the end in hokey pokey, you say, you put your whole self in. Right. Unitarian Universalists don't take their whole selves out. We stay at the table. We were very well aware we were being watched and videotaped on the camera that was in the corner. And we waited, and we waited. We had no idea how many hours we had been in there. When we were herded into a courtroom, turned out to be the middle of the night, exhausted, dirty, disheveled, disoriented, and we saw our men for the first time wearing their pink pajamas. Even though we had not yet been charged with a crime, no one in that room had been charged with a crime, and we had already been through hell and back. We could hardly speak, much less look coherent or be the little bit as civilized. I can hardly recognize my picture from court. Ken Brown was not supposed to be taking pictures, but he was up in this glassed-in space and was taking pictures, and I look horrible. With only a moment or two with our lawyers, we were led before a judge who said he was proud of us. I had heard stories about what it was like to be in jail. I had read about the treatment of prisoners in Joe Arpaio's jails. Now, aside from the experience of my only 30 hours in a holding cell, I thought what it's like for people to be in jail across this country. for what it's like for people to be in detention centers across this country, never knowing their fate. I was also made aware of what my white privilege means to me. I am Hispanic, but I am white. When it came time for me to be booked, the white clerk looked at me, saw an older woman with a clergy collar, and he apologized. He asked me if I wanted a drink of water. He told me his name, so if the guards were mean to me later, I could tell them. Meanwhile, I watched my friends of color being pushed, shoved, called names, receiving threatening looks and gestures from guards of all colors, men and women. I could only imagine how much worse it would have been had not those white people been among them, those of us with privilege. I saw quite painfully how personal and institutional racism dehumanizes every one of us, all of us in the system, including the guards, because they're duped into thinking they're better than the people in the jail cells. It's a nightmare, one I will never forget. I dream about it constantly. I dreamt about it again last night after watching the videos on Facebook of what happened in Charlottesville. I also know I am an integral part of white supremacy, and so are you, every one of you. I was the last person to be released from jail that day, and we'll see that picture, Calvin. There I am. Some of you may know Jan Meslin, who is very active UU in social justice, and that's Peter Morales, and unfortunately you can't see my face, but that's me wearing my hat and my collar. The reason I was the last person to be released, I'm not quite sure, but I know that they kept saying they didn't know who I was. And they had taken my fingerprints 3 different times. And on the last time, when I went in, they took my collar. So there was not a picture of me for the information that they keep with photographs of prisoners with collar on. So when I walked back into the jail, the women there said, "Where's your collar?" And I told them what happened. They made me a collar out of toilet paper. Will I go back to jail? I don't think so. I've done my time. I was the oldest woman to be arrested that day, and now I'm 7 years older. I also care for my elderly disabled mother, and I am all she has, so I can't afford to go to jail again. But I'm still called. There are many other ways I can work for justice. Perhaps you're called too. Since that time, I've been thinking a lot about activism. I've preached this sermon now over the past 7 years, 4 times this summer alone, probably at least a dozen times, thinking each time it will be the last. And last night, while I'm watching TV, I said it's hardly the last time that this kind of sermon needs to be preached. It's not old news. Not after this election. Not after what's happening in our streets. The stories need to be told because the darkness is gathering. I'm an activist, and I'm well aware that many of you are activists too. And you say, but are we all activists? And I'll tell you, I think you are. You see, Unitarian Universalism is not an orthodox religion, because orthodoxy means right belief. Orthodox religions are creedal religions with doctrines and dogma, expecting their adherents to not only believe alike, but to think alike as well. Unitarian Universalism, on the other hand, is an inclusive faith, which embraces many beliefs. Among our sources of faith is we affirm and promote the wisdom of all the world's religions in our ethical and spiritual life. Unitarian Universalism is grounded in orthopraxy. Praxy means praxis. It means practice. It means doing. It means activism. It means action. Another of our sources calls us to respond to the deeds and words of prophetic women and men, which challenge us to confront the powers and structures of evil with justice, compassion, and the transforming power of love. It's not the same to walk down a boulevard or onto a campus with a torch as it is to be in a peaceful demonstration with a candle. Unitarian Universalism, rather than being a religion of creed, is a religion of covenant. We make loving, caring promises to each other to have respect for ourselves and for others, believing in the inherent worth and dignity of all people, not just some people, but all people, realizing we are part of the interdependent web of all existence. Unitarian Universalist orthopraxy may include actions such as meditating and praying and reflecting together as we did this morning, singing in the choir, volunteering on committees, serving on the board of trustees, contributing to a potluck, serving as a worship associate, attending services. Just by being here together, you offer each other the support that you need to do the work that needs to be done. So all of us are activists in some way or another. Then there's another level of activism in the broader community, and I know many of you are involved with that too. Some of you write letters to elected officials, which we're going to do today, about things that matter to you. You email, you Facebook, you take part in community organizations, work for the health of our planet, bear witness in many ways. Perhaps in the coming days, in the coming weeks, you'll join in vigils and protests of justice. I'll see you there. I could not have done what I did without all of you Unitarian Universalists. It takes not only a village to raise a child, it takes a whole community to stand with you. I found an article in Yes Magazine. I don't know if any of you read it. If you don't, I highly recommend it. The author is Colin Beavan. He reflected on how I feel about what happened to me. He said, there's a lot of people who know way more about activism and citizen engagement than I do. I'm pretty ordinary. Frankly, I don't even want to be of service sometimes. But now I've learned about how to be an ordinary person. I can be filled with self-doubt, and I can still take the risk of trying to do something to help the world. He says, what if the many hours we spend each week reading and complaining on the internet were spent coming together with people to make a difference in the world? In 2012, I was invited to give the prayer of benediction at the General Assembly Saturday night worship service to over 4,000 people. Clover and Paul, were you there in Phoenix the night we went to Arpaio's jail? I thought you were. What I said followed the testimonies of four Mexican-American immigrant activists telling their incredible, compelling personal stories. It was immediately before thousands of us went to Arpaio's tent city to protest horrendous conditions there. In my benediction, this is what I said. I said, will you pray with me? And 4,000 Unitarian Universalists bowed their heads in prayer. I welcome you to do that if you're comfortable. Spirit of life, Spirit of love, God of our beating hearts, together as one, as each of us breathes in and breathes out, let us offer our deep gratitude for amazing days. There, in that convention center, we spent together in worship and witnessing, singing and dancing, learning and doing. Our lives have been changed forevermore. Challenged as we are, tired as we sometimes can be, overwhelmed by what we see and hear and experience, we know, and I'm speaking about the convention center. We know here we were in the safe and cool environment of a convention center, in restaurants and hotels, but not so much for all of us here in Phoenix, not for our friends and our neighbors who suffer every day in fear of the safety for their own lives and that of their children and families, not so for those confined in detention centers and jails here across this nation in unfair and unacceptable and inhumane conditions. We have the opportunity, I said this evening, to stand on the side of love together with those who need to hear and see our love and support. We have the opportunity to witness to the world from our convictions as Unitarian Universalists, as people of all faith and solidarity who seek justice and mercy for and peace for all people. Let us take this opportunity and be glad for it. May we be blessed and a blessing as we go forth together. And then on the screen it said, Amen, speaking in Spanish, because I said, Amen y Amén. And we can, si se puede, together. I'm absolutely positive. As my friends, I can assure you, even though I tend to be a positive person, as Beavan said, reminds us that during hard times, Anxiety will arrive and depression may occur. You'll find yourself running on fumes. But this should always remind us to take care of ourselves before this happens, to take care and engage in spiritual practices. That means come to church regularly, like every Sunday. And breathe. If we can't breathe together here and now, how will we do that later? And as always, there's strength in numbers. That's just the reality of it. We're able to partner, as we did in Phoenix, with other justice organizations, with other Unitarian Universalist churches. To quote a recent politician, my favorite, you know, white pantsuit, "We are stronger together." You may be familiar with the quote, "The moral arc of the universe is long, it bends towards justice." The quote is one of several quotes which were emblazoned on the carpet in the Oval Room in the White House in President Obama's office. Who is he quoting? Martin Luther King. Who was Martin Luther King quoting? None other than our 19th century minister, our Unitarian minister, abolitionist, Theodore Parker. Theodore Parker, who attracted thousands of people to his church every Sunday. He knew that the ark does not bend by itself. It's up to us to heal the world. Unitarian Universalism is not a religion grounded in orthodoxy, a right belief, but in orthopraxy, which is about right action. It matters not so much about what we believe, it matters how we live our beliefs. You see, we're all activists every day. We who use live our faith. Ours is not a faith of creeds, ours is of deeds. My friends, I ask of you, what is it for us to do? It is for us to heal the world. Amen, y amen.